And let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12. I have one word of caution in dealing with elections and so forth. Patriotism is not faith. And I hope none of you think that they're synonymous. They're not. Our government is our government. We pray to the Lord that He'll give us good government, honest people. And, I looked at years ago with Ronald Reagan. I kind of said that was kind of like a parenthesis in the direction our country was going. He had some bad advisors down there at the end. And I think maybe that this may be another parenthesis. I don't know. I'm glad that two new judges have been selected. This would be the third. I hesitate to laud all kind of compliments because we've seen what happens when we think there are going to be people that are going to get on the Supreme Court and they're going to align themselves with truth. And that doesn't always happen. So I think this is probably the best choice there is right now. But your faith is not in that either. The Supreme Court is in heaven. And some of their decisions here have been horrible. Left us in a mess. All right, Proverbs chapter 12. Once again, the chapter is about the practical usage of wisdom. We haven't even covered half the chapter yet. Last week we did a tremendous three verses. It's probably my fault, but we're gonna pick up in verse 13 in a minute or two. And so most of what we're going to look at here is about liars. When you were young, do you remember when you were either in your mother's lap or talking to your father that they instructed you to grow up and be a liar? Nobody here? And yet how many of us turned out to be liars? You know, it's what the flesh does when it's cornered and when all you have is the flesh, you're a liar. So, one thing as we look here, you must remember, and I think later on I have something important to say about this. A liar's own words will betray him eventually. The reason I say that, the first lie leads to the second, and to the third, and to the fourth, and on it goes. I mean, there's no end. And as the line of the liar's defenses grow in length, they also grow in weakness. And everything begins to be seen in terms of the lie. So as his fear and labor increase at every step, he's compelled to question and consider what truth is like and then imitate truth with a lie. You've got a perfect picture in Satan. And his followers do this with mastery. And the people that he's influenced do it as well. So eventually on this path, he forgets the lies he's told and will kind of flounder and fall. There are situations that I look at today, I'm waiting for that day. And I know it's going to happen, whether I'm here or I don't know, but I know it's going to happen. So, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Comparison of the wicked and the righteous in the use of their mouths. So the wicked are snared by the transgression of his lips. If you've ever sat in a courtroom, you'll see it in a quote-unquote normal courtroom. I don't know that anything's normal anymore. But in a normal courtroom, a defendant is there, and he's there to show that he is innocent, and the other attorney wants him to be able to talk as much as he can, because ultimately the man will say something incriminating. So I sat in on a traffic court one time, and a man was being charged with a violation. And so the judge said, "Do you have anything to say?" And that guy talked for 10 minutes. And he made everything 10 times worse. Because the longer you let somebody talk that's guilty, the more they will just incriminate themselves. So truth ultimately will out itself. And it says the righteous shall come out of trouble. If you're just and honest, what do you have to hide? It's an enormous advantage, because you don't have any need to tell any lies. If you don't do the job well, you don't need to tell a lie and say, "Well, you know, I did." No, just admit it. It's being honest, and being honest goes a long way, as opposed to being a liar. Lies always lead to more lies. And the liar has to juggle these complex and sometimes contradictory statements until he can't juggle them anymore. And a just man's words ring true. And I'll get to something here. When you're just, you're telling the truth, but they're called lies. They're declared lies. So, verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. All right, to every man will recompense be made according to his doings. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. I mean, basically, this is what this is saying, and it's important. So sooner or later, I'm going to get into some wedding vows, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse, our words and our works come home to roost. If you were to look at the country, the nation of the USSR, any treaty that they entered into, they broke. They never kept one. And the reason was, they didn't look at these as lies. They look at it as an advantage to accomplish world domination. Well, on a personal level, I don't know that you would look at it that way, but maybe not. China's the same way. Cuba's the same way. False religions are the same way. Politicians are the same way, for the most part. And they will skirt the truth. I've said a long time, politics is the science of lying. There are some that tell the truth, but they're rare. I mean, you had a candidate on a debate stand there and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. And now there's something else that's been found out, and he's lying about that. So it comes normal. It is what it is. So, you come down to verse 14. By the way, you have to believe verse 14 is true. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Have a verse and think it's in Numbers. Be sure your sins will find you out. If you have things that nobody else knows, and you've gotten away with it so far, somebody knows. And one day it's going to come out in the open, and we're not going to be happy about that. So 14 links our mouths and our hands together. Are you superior to the laws of God? None of us are. And I'm looking here, and I'm thinking of the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18. And remember, he was granted mercy. And he didn't have to pay what he owed. His debt was paid in full. And then he went out and went to the people that owed him money and beat them up. To draw it out of them. So do we work in honesty, and are we content with what we have as a result? Because if we are, you'll find recompense for your word and your work. You just will. 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. All right, so the fool is right in his own eyes. And when you challenge a fool who is right in his own eyes, usually he gets angry when you challenge that. So other people, if you look at these two verses, other people will listen and they'll act on counsel, and therefore the word calls them wise and prudent, and they're hard on themselves. Be hard on yourselves. Not easy on yourselves, because if you're easy on yourselves, you're going to miss some of the things that you do, and the Lord will be hard on you for missing it. He wants you to take care of the things that are wrong. He just does. And knowing who he is, when he sees other people fall, sometimes he'll just keep quiet about those things as opposed to addressing them, because he knows who he would. Galatians 6 in verse 1 is crucial. He recognizes who he is. Ultimately, I think you have to try to lift him up. Genesis 9 is a good example for me. Ham did something wrong with his father Noah. And he leaves there and he relates that to his brothers. There's no embarrassment. There's no blushing. And I think maybe he thought he was superior to his brothers when they took a blanket and walked backwards to cover his dishonored father. Now, I have a question. Could Ham have done the same thing? Could Ham have taken a covering and covered up his father? Absolutely. But what Ham did is not visual. It went beyond visual and dealt with physical. And so Ham, he just let it go, and he didn't think anything of it. It wasn't important to him. And the two brothers covered up, Noah. All right, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Now the rest of this through verse 22 all are occupied with the same general theme. The lips of truth contrasted with a lying tongue. Honest speech manifests integrity of our heart. The false witness, the lack of inward truth. What does it say in Matthew about what comes out of the heart? Does anything good come out of the heart, by the way? No. So why would you follow your heart? Yeah, Hallmark. Follow your heart. Hallmark doesn't have the truth. And ultimately, they're going to go the way of everything else. So deliberate lying scatters pain and sorrow like a shotgun. But unlike a shotgun, it can be seen from every side. Verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So we're talking about venomous words piercing like a sword the hearts of sensitive and gentle souls. Now to these, the tongue of the spiritual building up the wise results in health, but the lying tongue goes into oblivion, because it's the very best he can do is deception. Say, well, I don't know any people like that. Then you haven't lived. You haven't been around people. Verse 19. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Okay, don't forget this. The lips of truth shall be established forever. That's a promise. It's an absolute. All we have done and said to persuade people to respond to the gospel of Christ. All that we've done, the results we've seen, the results we haven't seen, all that we've done to persuade people to the truths of doctrines and doctrines and doctrines will not return void. They stand forever. Doesn't mean they're all going to be believed, but they're going to have an effect. People will be held accountable for what you say. I've told people things in my life that they just didn't want to hear. Not in a contentious way, but in a way that says, this is what God's Word says. And they started to blame me, and then I back off. And I say, okay, this is what God says. All I'm doing is giving you the message. I'm just the messenger. The issue is between you and God's Word. Same thing with the gospel. People will say anything to get away from being confronted with their sin and then the understanding that they're sinners in need of being saved. And they'd rather work their way, they'd rather earn their way than have Christ deliver them, which is odd, it's strange. But it's part of what deception is. So to deceit and lying will be rewarded as well. But for how long? For a moment. Just for a moment. Moment of time. All right, verse 20. This is a motive buster. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Deception comes from those who imagine evil. Can you think of any places? Movies, books, education, internet games, the gaming phenomenon, false doctrine, false practice. I mean, how far can you go? But in the heart of truth, counselors there relate peace, which results in joy. This is what truth does. People who are at odds with God do not want truth. Even if you're saved, if you're out of fellowship and someone presents you with the truth, in all likelihood, you don't bow the knee and say, oh, thank you for that. You excuse it because there's something that's not right. Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Now, do you think that that's an absolute statement? If you do, then it's not for our day. It has to be when we're in heaven. It has to be when we're with the Lord. And the wicked are in hell or the lake of fire. What does it say? There shall no evil happen to the just. What about the Inquisitions? A lot of evil happened to them. What about in these iron country countries and places? What about our country? So I think we can make an application here. If we put this verse into the framework of our lives today and understand that we shouldn't go out and look for evil to happen to us, There's certain things we deserve because we've put ourselves in situations like that. But in all likelihood, the Lord's going to protect us. Do you think that the Lord's protected us here at church? I do. I mean, from the virus and from a lot of other things. I mean, there were a few serious situations along the years, but he's pretty well protected us. If the laws change and so forth, then you can see we'll have to make adjustments. Not compromise the truth, but make adjustments where we're going to meet and how we're going to do it. All right? And in the end, we win anyway. Yes? Okay, verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Okay, what does abomination mean? It's disgusting. It's abhorrent. It's repulsive to the Lord. I mean, this is talking about lying lips. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. I mean, I think it borders on the same thing that the church of Laodicea. You remember, since they weren't hot and they weren't cold, he says, you make me sick. I want to spew you out of my mouth. All right? So, I'm going to give you passages for the rest of this time. You don't need to look it up, because I'm just going to tell you the chapter and what it's talking about. Abomination. Leviticus 11. All kinds of unclean animals and beasts consumed were abomination to God in Leviticus 11. Leviticus 18 and 20, all kinds of sexual sins were mentioned. Sodomy. I mean, irregularities galore were considered to be abominations to God. Deuteronomy 7 and 12, the worship of graven images. Deuteronomy 18, practice of the occult. Do you know how much occult is being practiced today? In corporations, in amusements, in churches. And God calls those abominations. Deuteronomy 22, the confusion of the sexes. Okay, I'm a guy. I'm not a girl. I'm not a woman. I don't want to look like a woman. I don't want you to confuse me for a woman, and you should not want me to confuse you for a man. Proverbs chapter 3, the froward. It's not saying forward, the froward, which are in opposition to God. Proverbs chapter 6, they that sow discord among the brethren. I mean, we've been into some pretty specific things, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pops discord among the brethren. I can give a few illustrations in my day through being in situations that I've been in, and I know for a fact that those are situations that were worthy of God throwing up. I have something with brothers and sisters in Christ that I don't have with my physical sister. And why would I jeopardize that to try to break up something? Proverbs 8, wickedness is an abomination. Proverbs 11, a false balance. Here, I want to sell you this hamburger meat, and I'm just going to sell you a pound, but I only weigh out 15 ounces. So I cheat you out of an ounce. Proverbs 13, when fools don't depart from sin, it's abomination to God. Proverbs 15, the sacrifice of the wicked. Same chapter, the way of the wicked. Same chapter, the thoughts of the wicked. What was it that you could do to please God when you were lost? Nothing. Every attempt was wicked. Proverbs 16, anybody that's proud in heart, prideful. Proverbs 17, those who justify the wicked and condemn the righteous. Never thought I'd see the day that I'd be associated with something like that. But sure enough, we see people who are condemning, justifying the wicked, and they're condemning those who are saved. Where are we? Proverbs 24, the scorner. 2 Peter chapter 3, remember the second coming? Where's the second coming? What did they do? They scorned the second coming. God says that's an abomination to him. Proverbs chapter 28, the unjust. Titus chapter 1, I probably should have you look up the because it's more than I can say in two or three words. Titus chapter 1. So I hope that you're getting the idea of what God considers to be an abomination before we read this. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Professing Christ and living in abomination in what they do. In Revelation chapter 17, we have Mystery Babylon, the great whore in tribulation, the whore religion in tribulation, which is really it's still Catholicism, just with a different name maybe. And then in verse chapter 21, those who are a list of those who are lost. And then, of course, in the lake of fire, 21 verse 8 and 21, 27. Nothing will enter into heaven that is abominable. Nothing. No one. Sometimes these people tell blasphemous jokes. They have unsaved people that they determine are in heaven. Or they die and then they teach blasphemous doctrine. So, well, they're up there now in heaven. And you wonder, you know, how bad do you have to be to go to hell? It must have to be pretty bad. No, you just have to be a sinner to don't trust Christ as Savior. And there it's when you wind up. All right, so the end of verse 22, I think basically I'm going to say this, but to do right, and to deal truly, honestly, and righteously is God's delight. You don't have anything to prove, so why not just be honest? What we think is honesty isn't the best policy. Honesty doesn't get us always the promotion. Honesty doesn't always work out for us. So we try to manufacture an answer to make ourselves look better. But then we're back in the same situation that we're looking at here. If we're saved, listen, let's be honest. The lost don't have a choice. They just don't have a choice. And if you're gonna determine that, you know, I can do what I want to do, and if I want to be honest, I can be honest. Well, then be prepared to deal with the consequences of your action. And if you're not going to deal with it, God will deal with it. So this little section that we just looked at deals with something that should never come out of our mouths. Lies and deceit and evil. But it will if the Holy Spirit's not in control, because the flesh automatically does that. It's what the flesh does. And so, again, nothing new under the sun. Let's live in control to the Holy Spirit. And think before we act, think before we speak on some of these things, because God is very serious about things that are abominations. And this little section that we read is just making the comparisons. And God wants you to be wise. He's given you the ability to have practical wisdom in this life. You just have to do it. Use it. And not fall under the spell of, well, everybody else is doing it, or the flesh. I mean, we have a great God, and he wants to bless us. And I want him to find me faithful, don't you? I want to be pleasing to him. And all I have to do is yield and keep his word. He's written it all here for me. So let's have a word of prayer. And we can be on our ways. Just put on your sunglasses when you go outside. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful day you've given to us. and for working on the hearts of your people to be here. I'm thankful that they're here. I know you are. Thankful for those that could not be here and tuned in. Praying for those that could have but wouldn't. They would see the great need that exists among us, not only in our worship, but in our fellowship as well. We just thank you for answered prayer this week, and we just look for answered prayer as we go through this week as well. Pray that you'd work on our hearts, that we'd just be everything that you came to this earth and died and shed your blood and rose again and gave us salvation through faith in Christ. Everything that he did for us should be manifested in the way we deal in our everyday life. And I pray that you would just work on our hearts about that. Thank you for the elimination of the virus with Preston, with Bob and Marge, our president, and many others as well. Thank you for keeping it from us. We are grateful to you. We know it's not because of us. It's because of you. And help us to be wise and discerning as to the implementation of things that are important and the things that aren't. And give us good rest of the week, safety as we go to our places, opportunities to use what we know for you, and to put into practice even tonight. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.